the Supreme Court hearing arguments in a case that tests how far the government can go to stop what it labels misinformation online. Justice Samuel Alito.
They suggest rules that should be applied, and why don't you tell us everything that you're going to do so we can help you and we can look it over. And I thought, wow, I cannot imagine federal officials taking that approach to the print media.
Oh, CBS's Omar Villafranca tells us officials along the Texas border are concerned about a new law which could take effect later today, giving them broader powers.
The sheriff down in Webb County, which is Laredo, Texas, told me if they had to arrest 20 migrants, then it would basically almost put their jail at capacity.
30 Americans back home on a flight from Haiti.
Finally got an email saying, hey, we got a flight for you. So feeling great.
It's a mixed emotion. It's good to be back here. I'm safe. I have my family, but I also need to think about the people back home.
CBS News Brief, I'm Steve Kathan.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Rent is going up faster in Wisconsin than most of the rest of the country, according to Channel 9 TV in Wausau. Their reporting shows rent in Wisconsin went up 8% in January of last year to January of this year, making Wisconsin one of the top 10 states in the country for rent increases in that time. Senator Ron Johnson says he hopes the Senate will take their time studying the House TikTok bill before calling for a floor vote.
What I've looked so far, there's very legitimate concerns on both sides of the issue. So I'm hoping we don't just rush into this, take a vote. I hope we actually do deliberate on this and take a look at this thing both from both sides.
The bill would take TikTok off U.S. app stores unless its Chinese owners sell to an American buyer. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Now, here's what you need to know closer to home.
For WFHR and WIRI News, I'm Brittany Merlot. A Wisconsin Rapids man was charged on Friday for the hit-and-run crash that killed a 63-year-old Stevens Point man earlier this month. Kenneth L. Butler is now facing charges of a hit-and-run resulting in the death of Herbert Weevil and homicide by negligent operation of a motor vehicle. Butler remains in the Portage County Jail on a $250,000 cash bail that was set on March 8th. Butler's next court appearance is scheduled for today. And a reconstruction project that started this morning is closing a Wisconsin Rapids intersection for the next 2 weeks. Lincoln Street and Chestnut Street will be rerouted. Traffic will be detoured on East Grand Avenue, 8th Street South, and East Riverview Expressway. It's expected to reopen on Friday, March 29th by 3 p.m. And that's what you need to know. I'm Brittany Merlot for WFHR and WIRI News.
Do you catch yourself quoting TV shows like that? It could win you a free meal and make you our next star of the day with Culver's. Join the morning show on WFHR every Friday.
What you talking about, Willis?
My name's James, and I'm telling people every Friday we'll play a theme song or a quote from a movie.
Frankly, my dear, I don't give
it. You call 424-2600, give the correct answer, and you'll win a family pack from our Wisconsin Rapids Culver's.
To the Batmobile.
Join the morning show every Friday for Culver's Star of the Day.
I love it when a plan comes together.
Badgers headed to the big dance. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. Men's college basketball. Wisconsin lost to Illinois 93-87 in the Big Ten final, but are headed to New York, where they'll face James Madison University Friday night. Greg Gard on what he knows about their next opponent.
I mean, they're 31-3. They won the Sun Belt. They beat Michigan State in overtime the first game of the year. They're really old from what I've learned so far. A lot of grad transfers. Best shooter used to be at South Dakota State, Ferdell. Yeah, you're going to play. Everybody you're going to play this time of year is really good. You can just erase all those numbers.
Marquette plays Friday afternoon against Western Kentucky. In the NBA, the Bucks with a win at home over the Suns. The final score 140-129. The funny thing is, Doc Rivers says that's exactly what he told the team at Saturday's practice, how much they'd have to score.
We actually talked about yesterday that there was a 140, and I'm not kidding, number out there. We just said, guys, we got to have the mindset that we can score 140 points.
That's Bucks head coach Doc Rivers. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
Some calmer winds today under a mix of sun and clouds and still holding below average temperatures. As highs today hit the mid-30s. After sunset, a chance of a few flurries could be flying around as winds start to crank up once again. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. It's 26 degrees at our studios.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
How to avoid this apocalyptic nightmare? It's to vote. Because at the end of the day, the only thing that will save our democracy is our democracy. America, make your voice heard. Turn away from authoritarianism and vote this November.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Your hometown news talk and sports station is locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM. Live from the Civic Media World Headquarters in Madison, Wisconsin, it's the Todd Albaugh Show. And now, pursuing truth wherever it may lead, here's your host, Todd Albaugh.
Across Wisconsin on the Civic Media Radio Network and streaming worldwide on the Civic Media app. Good afternoon, everybody. I'm Todd Albaugh, along with our outstanding producer, Mr. Aaron Zommers, on the board. It is now 6 past the hour of 12 noon on this Monday, March 18th, 2024. Back to school, back to work week, and a post-St. Patrick's Day hangover Monday. Mr. Zommers, how the heck are you?
Not hungover.
Not hungover.
I consumed no alcohol.
Good for you. I did not overdo. I stayed at home for most of the day. I really didn't go out. Watched a lot of college basketball. I can tell you I consumed all of 2 New Glarus beers. Yes, at home. And the reason I did so is because on Saturday, when the Badgers were in the semifinal against Purdue, I was eating Owl's Nest garlic cheese spread, Ritz crackers, and I had saved a small 4-pack of the New Glarus rhubarb strawberry beer. And I broke one of those open, and they won. And so I'm not, by and large, not a suspicious person, but I am a slightly suspicious when it comes to sports. And so I thought, well, I have to do the same thing on Sunday to help do my part, you understand, to help the Badgers win the Big Ten championship. So I broke out a second New Glarus rhubarb strawberry beer and Ritz crackers and an Owl's Nest cheese spread. Didn't quite work.
I'm sure you were just so upset that you had to have another one of those.
I was. Well, somebody had to do it, you understand? Somebody had to take one for the team. And then after, because that first one only lasted, you know, barely into the first 10 minutes of the game, so that I cracked open a spotted cow. So I guess, yeah, yesterday I had 2, and then on Saturday it was 1. So I did not really imbibe. I did not go crazy. The Badger basketball team went crazy. They knocked off Purdue. It was a great game in overtime. It was fantastic. And then, of course, they came up just a little bit short against Brett Bielema and the Fighting Illini. I know Brett, he coaches the football team, you understand. It was a great game. I wish the Badgers could have got the Big Ten championship, but they came darn close. They are a 5 seed in the big NCAA tournament. This is, I'm a little worried here, taking on George Mason, the 12 seed. And anybody that knows anything about college, or James Madison, pardon me, I said George Mason. James
you
Madison.
You did say George. I don't know who George Mason is, to be honest. Should I?
I'm not sure. James Madison. Not the founder, but the school. And right. So, yeah. But they're a perky little team. And, of course, there's always a 12, at least one of the 4 12 beats a 5. I'm hoping it's not Wisconsin that gets knocked off. Going to be a tough game. Going to be a late game on Friday night. I believe tip-off is 8:40-ish. They are the second game. They're going to the south the region, and the first games are for the Badgers will be in Brooklyn, New York. So the Badgers will be taken off to Brooklyn, and the game will be Friday. And around 8:40, depending upon when the first at PM, depending upon when the first game gets done, and you can hear it right here on the Civic Media Radio Network. Of course, Richland Center, Amory, Wisconsin Rapids, Racine, Kenosha, and you can stream that game on the Civic Media app. So I'll be listening on Friday. Marquette, the Golden Eagles, got a 2 seed. And they're in the same region, by the way. Marquette will take on Western Kentucky on Thursday afternoon, I believe 1:30 tip-off time for the Marquette Golden Eagles. So theoretically, the Badgers and the Golden Eagles could face each other in the Elite Eight with a spot in the Final Four on the line. Wouldn't that be magical?
That would. I can't say I expect that to happen, though.
Yeah. Marquette could get there. I think Marquette could get there. It's going to take a little bit of luck and a lot of hard work for the Badgers to get there, but you never know. We'll never say never. We're going to talk more to our very own sports reporter, Mr. Mike Clemens, joins us live at the bottom of this hour. We're going to talk about the NCAA tournament. Also, the Milwaukee Bucks getting a nice win over the Suns over the weekend. And Aaron Jones and the Packers. Going to follow up a little bit with Mr. Clemens on that. I'm also going to ask him what he thinks about this Justin Fields trade over the weekend. The Bears got rid of the quarterback for basically, I think Wayne Larrabee said, for a bag of balls. It's like a 6th-round draft pick from the Steelers. So we're going to talk to Mike Clemens about all of that coming up at the bottom of the hour. And, of course, your phone calls as well. But first of all, I want to start at 11 minutes past the hour of 12 noon with the big story of the day, and a lot of people are talking about this, and our very own Trigvi Olsen, who appears on this program every Wednesday from noon until 1, has been making headlines in Raw Story yesterday and this morning. Democracy expert points to red flag signaling imminent danger with Trump's rhetoric. And here the story starts out. Those high-profile Republicans who are twisting Donald Trump's quote-unquote bloodbath comments to be more palatable are part of the problem, according to a democracy expert who said yesterday on the record. Trigvi Olsen, the author of the Lincoln Democracy Institute's research project, The Democracy Index, responded to ex-GOP Governor Scott Walker's attempt to paint Trump's use of bloodbath as using an alternative definition about economic disasters. Here's the tweet from former Badger Boy State participant Scott Walker. Quote, clearly Trump was talking about a major economic disaster, unquote. That's what Walker sent out. In response, Trigvi Olsen said, quote, the current political discourse, inflamed by Donald Trump's ominous hints at a bloodbath, signals a critical juncture for the United States. He went on to say high-profile conservatives such as Walker are attempting to dilute the gravity of Trump's words by framing them within industrial context. Yet, considering Wisconsin's pivotal role in the upcoming 2024 electoral cycle, alongside its tumultuous history of protests and civil unrest, much of which can be traced back to Walker's tenure, this state exemplifies the broader national crisis, Trigvi said. He went on, quote, in April 2023, my extensive survey for Lincoln Democracy Institute unveiled alarming levels of political extremism and radicalization across the United States, echoing methodologies from my post-9/11 research in the Middle East. I mean, Trigvi Olsen has been someone who has fought for democracy around the world. Again, he is the only person that I know who has been banned from Russia by Vladimir Putin himself because of working on democracy issues worldwide. And now he's having to speak out against one of our own former governors, Scott Walker, who is buying into this. So what are we talking about? In case you missed it, I want to start off with a cut here. And this is Jen Psaki on MSNBC, who really put this into the best context that I heard over the weekend. It includes the cut from Trump that everybody's talking about in its context. So we're not going to take this out of context. We're not going to clip it. She plays the actual cut. And Trump is appearing in Dayton, Ohio over the weekend as a campaign stop and talking. And we're going to, by the way, we'll get to what I consider the most alarming part in a little bit, which was his introduction, not the bloodbath comment. But anyway, this comment, he was talking about the fact he's going, if he gets another term, going to put 100% tariffs on all foreign cars. That's what he's talking about. And we'll let you listen to it, draw your own conclusion. And then Psaki does a great job of putting into context what people like Scott Walker are saying. Here's Jen Psaki yesterday on MSNBC.
We're going to put a 100% tariff on every single car that comes across the line. And you're not going to be able to sell those cars. If I get elected, now, if I don't get elected, it's going to be a bloodbath for the whole. That's going to be the least of it. It's going to be a bloodbath for the country. That'll be the least of it. But they're not going to sell those cars.
It's going to be a bloodbath for the country. That will be the least of it. Now, the Trump team quickly said last night, nothing to see here. He was just talking about the auto industry. Consider the full context, everyone. Otherwise, it's irresponsible. Well, if they want us to consider the full context, let's do just that. Because the full context is that Trump kicked off the same exact rally by saluting the people who were convicted for the deadly assault on the U.S. Capitol on January 6th, all to the tune of the national anthem sung by a choir of imprisoned insurrectionists. The full context is that some of the first words out of Trump's mouth last night, same rally, were thanking those rioters and calling them patriots. The full context is that he also said in this same rally, quote, if this election isn't won, I'm not sure that you'll ever have another election in this country. The full context is that he went on to say some undocumented immigrants are, quote, not people. And of course, the full context is that this is much bigger than one single speech. This embrace of political violence, this dehumanizing language, this is what Donald Trump has been preaching for years. In January, he warned that there will be, quote, bedlam in this country if his criminal prosecution derailed his campaign. Late last year, he echoed the dehumanizing language of Adolf Hitler, comparing his political opponents to vermin and saying immigrants are, quote, poisoning the blood of our country. Last month, he said there would be potential death and destruction if he was charged in the Manhattan criminal probe. And during his first term, he flat out refused to condemn the political violence at a white nationalist rally in Charlottesville, Virginia, saying there were very fine people on both sides. In 2020, he reportedly asked his defense secretary about shooting people who were protesting the death of George Floyd, saying, can't you just shoot them? Just shoot them in the legs or something. And of course, his very words inspired violence on January 6, 2021, when he told a crowd of his supporters to walk down to the Capitol and fight like hell because, quote, you'll never take back our country with weakness. Trust me, I could go on and on and on. We all know by now that Trump's allusions to political violence are not merely rhetorical. His supporters take them literally. That's part of the big problem here. And he knows that, too. So, no, we did not miss the full context. This was not some meandering off-message comment. This is his message. As the Biden campaign put it, this is who Donald Trump is, a loser who gets beat by over 7 million votes, and then instead of appealing to a wider mainstream audience, doubles down on his threats of political violence.
There's Jen Psaki. I thought she nailed it. Put it into, that's how you put something into context. Yes, I mean, the words of Trump in the context of talking about tariffs, he used this language of bloodbath. But as Jen Psaki points out, this is an ongoing narrative. Trygve Olson says the same thing. We're going to talk about it when we come back. Also take your phone calls, 855-752-4842, 855-752-4842. It is Monday, March 18th. This is the All Ball Show, and this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
This is locally grown radio, WFHR.
Most of us can agree we should have the freedom to make our own medical decisions. Politicians should have no role at all, but not California mega millionaire Eric Hovde. Hovde said, I am totally opposed to abortion and I'm 100% pro-life. And he supported overturning Roe v. Wade, the court case that protected abortion rights. Hovde's been supported by Wisconsin Right to Life, an extreme anti-abortion group that supports banning abortion, even in cases of rape and incest, and threatens doctors and nurses with criminal charges for providing abortion care. With views like that, Hovde could be a crucial vote in favor of a national abortion ban. letting politicians decide what's right for women. Call Eric Hovde at his California office at 714-730-4444. Tell him his position on abortion is dangerous for Wisconsin women. Paid for by A Better Wisconsin Together, Inc.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR, home for Matt Nair on air.
Wherever it may lead, and having fun doing it. Welcome back to the Tyler Ball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network, Monday, March 18th, 2020. Make it 2024. It's 20 past the hour of 12 noon. Get it right yet. Mr. Zommer's on the board. We'd love to hear from you. Talking about the Trump rally in Dayton, Ohio this weekend, and the fact that he used the term bloodbath in the context talking about foreign trade and putting 100% tariffs on cars. But as Jen Psaki points out, and also we're going to have a further quote from our friend Trygve Olson, that this is all part of the larger narrative of ginning people up and dividing people. So, no, you can't just one-off it and saying, well, you know, obviously he was talking about tariffs. He said it in the context of tariffs. But the fact is, this rhetoric is just, as Jen Psaki pointed out, is many in a long list of volatile, divisive things that Trump wants to get out there. 855-752-4842, 855-752-4842. Trygve Olson, again, senior advisor at the Lincoln Project, joins us every Wednesday in this story in rawstory.com, said this about Trump's comments and people like Scott Walker and other MAGA Republicans who are trying to say, don't worry about Trump's bloodbath comment. Here's what Trygve Olson said, quote, the data showed that over a quarter of Americans are on the brink of political extremism, with another 30% teetering on the edge. Stop right there. So 25% are on the brink of political extremism, with 30% more teetering on the edge. Now, I'm not a math major, but to me, 25 plus 30% means that over half of Americans are either on the brink of political extremism or teetering on the edge. And this is based on extensive research that Trygve has done in polling and focus groups through the Lincoln Project and the Democracy Project to bring these facts. Carrying on with what Trygve said, quote, the stark division in America was further highlighted by responses to a seemingly simple question. Here's what they asked. They said, do you view those who don't share your political views as trustworthy opponents or untrustworthy enemies? Very interesting, right? This is the question they ask people. Do you view those who don't share your political views as a trustworthy opponent or an untrustworthy enemy? Trygve says by April, nearly half of the respondents nationwide, April last year, nearly half of the respondents nationwide viewed their political opposites as enemies, a sentiment alarmingly pronounced in key states like Wisconsin. In April of 2023, 37% of Wisconsin respondents viewed those with different political views as enemies. Of those, 51% supported Trump, 35% backed Biden, and the rest were undecided. By December of 2023, a subsequent Wisconsin survey for the Lincoln Project revealed a chilling reversal. 62% in December now regarded the opposite sides as enemies. Trygve Olson went on and said, this surge in animosity was particularly marked among Trump and Biden supporters, with respective increases of 42% and 107%. This dramatic rise in division is more than just concerning, Trigvi said. It is a red flag signaling the imminent danger of political violence and extremism. He went on, Trigvi Olsen from the Lincoln Project, saying Trump's relentless insinuations of violence, especially post January 6th, have irrevocably polarized the electorate. The use of incendiary language such as bloodbath, regardless of its intended context, exacerbates this volatile situation. The conspicuous silence, and worse, the justification of such rhetoric by right-wing leadership betrays a fundamental betrayal of democratic small-d principles. This complicity in the face of Trump's provocation poses an existential threat to the 2024 elections and by extension to American democracy itself, unquote. Those are the views of Trigvi Olsen, who again will join us on Wednesday from noon until 1, a democracy expert. And what Trigvi just laid out is what makes Trump's remarks about a bloodbath so dangerous and reprehensible. Let's go to the phone lines, 855-752-4842. Mark from Prairie du Sac. Mark, thanks for calling in. About a minute and a half, what say you?
Yeah, I've long been concerned about this kind of rhetoric because I can trace it back to some stuff I heard even back as far as the 80s. And, I mean, a lot of this stuff just parallels what Hitler, it's probably not an exact repeat of what Hitler said, but a lot of it rhymes with what Hitler said. Mm-hmm. And what shocks me is the people we like to call principled conservatives do not condemn this kind of language wholeheartedly. They just kind of say, well, they just kind of give some excuses to it, and you just have to confront this kind of language and call it out for what it is, because every time Trump opens his mouth, the cacophony of lies that come out of his mouth and misstatements and bending the truth, like now he's been talking about, he released the tape of his phone call with Zelensky, which no such tape ever even existed. Mm-hmm. And that lies out there in the media, and then his supporters will say, well, Trump released that tape, and I heard it, and even though they have not heard it, it's just that when Trump speaks, they listen, and it's like the analytical part of their brain has been shut down, and he's just talking to pure id, and that... And it's scary, because what are we going to do when these people, that if any of us made the comment that the one that I pick comes to mind from the movie Troy, where Achilles said to Agamemnon, I want to look forward to looking down in your corpse and smiling, that if any one of us came up with language like that, we'd be under investigation or on our way to jail. But the Trumpsters and Trump can get away with that language on a daily basis.
Appreciate the call, Mark. Thank you so much. Mark from the SAC. Let's go quickly to Karina in Milwaukee. Karina, thanks for listening. About a minute left. What say you?
Well, you see how I see it, Todd. He wants complete immunity. What is next? He wants complete power, so we're going to have a king. We're going to have a monarchy in this country. And the fact that he make a prediction and then make those predictions happen, and then he changes his mind and he throws that to somebody else's responsibility, and then he all of a sudden stands up for his own people saying, I'm gonna let everybody who was on the 6th January out because they did nothing wrong. No, you have to go in.
Thanks.
Not them going out, because those people are actually...
Thanks, Karina. I got to run, Karina. We'll talk more about it coming up in Hour 2, including Trump's intro. You don't want to miss that Hour 2. You don't want to miss Mike Clemens and March Madness on the other side. This is the Todd Ball Show on Civic Media.
Monday on the Maggie Dawn Show, I'll be joined by City of Milwaukee political veteran Alderman Bob Bauman as we discuss why the incumbent city attorney is unfit for office.
For the longest time, it was hard for me to even get out of the house, much less do a backside 180. It took me a bit to understand what was going on, but eventually I learned I had anxiety. Now I'm getting help for it and feeling so much better. Sure, some days are better than others, but the whole thing about getting out of the house, that's not really an issue anymore.
Mental health care is working. See what it can do for you at mentalhealthcareworks.org. A message from the American Psychiatric Association Foundation.
I'm Stephanie Hoff for the Midwest Farm Report, along with you midday on a Monday. With commodity markets looking lower for both dairy and crop farmers this year, ag lenders are having more thoughtful conversations with their clients about new revenue streams for the farm. Elsa Condon, Vice President of Agricultural Banking with Nicolet National Bank, has the details.
A lot of our on-farm conversations over the winter, as we look at year-end balance sheets, we look at budgets for 2024, they're asking questions like, hey, when you look at peers to me, what can I do to have a more positive or a less negative margin there on the bottom line? Do you see things that could help? They're asking questions like, I don't know that more borrowing is in the cards to add on more cows right now or to add land base, but I still have a next generation that wants to come back to this farm. What are ways we can vertically integrate some of the functions that we're hiring out? What are ways that we can add a revenue stream? Let's look at some creative options that might fit our location and our market.
Elsa Condon from Nicolet National Bank with what's trending today in the ag lending space. Stick around for a look at commodity prices coming your way.
Nobody likes driving on a rough road. Hitting potholes is hard on your body. The bumpy terrain is hard on your vehicle and your farm equipment. Today, you can take action to improve your rural roads. Encourage your town or county to apply for the Agricultural Roads Improvement Program. $50 million are available now to make commuting and farming easier on you. The deadline to apply is April 5th. Find the application materials at MidwestFarmReport.com.
In our world of agriculture, weather conditions rule our workday. The Midwest Farm Report and the National Weather Service are recruiting citizen scientists to help keep an eye on Mother Nature. You can help by taking real-time weather observations and alerting the National Weather Service about severe weather occurring where you are. Everyday people such as yourself play a vital role in protecting lives and property. To find out how you can become a citizen scientist, visit WisconsinWeatherWatchers.org.
Today, I'm calling on Richland County in the southwest part of Wisconsin and Menominee County in the northeast area to sign up to be rainfall reporters with the National Weather Service. These are two counties that are in need of people to report rainfall. Visit WisconsinWeatherWatchers.org. From Chicago, dairy markets are mixed. The April Class 3 milk contract is trading up a nickel at $16.06 a hundredweight. The May contract is down 2 cents at $16.40 a hundredweight. Cash corn is up a penny at $4.37 3/4. December new crop corn is up a half a cent at $4.71 1/4. Cash beans are trading down 7 1/4 cents at $11.91 a bushel. November new crop beans are down 7 1/2 at $11.83 1/4. And July new crop wheat up 12 cents at $5.56 a bushel. For the Midwest Farm Report, I'm Stephanie Hoff.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
Some calmer winds today under a mix of sun and clouds and still holding below average temperatures. As highs today hit the mid-30s. After sunset, a chance of a few flurries could be flying around as winds start to crank up once again. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. It's 26 degrees at our studios.
The deep three.
D3 right of the circle. Badgers take the lead.
The throwdown.
Down the lane and sends it in and one.
The thrilling victory.
Badgers win it. Oh, did they dig in defensively tonight?
This is your radio home for Wisconsin Badger basketball.
Fakes the three, sidesteps left for three in the lead. He hit it.
The Badger Sports Network from Learfield.
Drives the lane, draw and kick, right corner three. Got it again.
From Wisconsin Rapids to Stevens Point, your news, talk, and sports is 97.5 FM, locally grown radio.
Welcome back to Selection Sunday on CBS. No, not really. But I wish I could have been in that chair. I mean, Greg Gumbel's out this year. He has a little health issue. They did a great job yesterday. Welcome back to the Todd Allball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. 34 minutes now past the hour of 12 noon on Monday, March 18th, 2024, the day after Selection Sunday. Glad to have you along here on the show. And welcome in our sports reporter for Civic Media, the incomparable Mike Clemens, who seems to be everywhere this time of year, whether it's NFL news, whether it's spring Brewer news, or whether it's NCAA news. Mike Clemens, thanks for making time in your very busy schedule. How are you?
How are you, Todd? Have you been selling out your brackets during the commercial breaks yet? Or
you know what? I kind of have. I mean, I'm one of those who I live for this time of year. I was cheering for the Badgers. You know, I mean, I hate to be one of those people. I thought they got a couple of bad calls. Losing Wall with whatever it was, 3.5 minutes left. I think that really made a difference in that game against Illinois. Take nothing away from the Illini. They played well, but boy, I would have liked to have seen Wisconsin get a Big Ten championship, but just to knock off Purdue and get there, that was fantastic. But yeah, now I'm filling out the bracket. And how about, are you a bracket guy, Mike Clemens, or not so much?
No, because I used to work for a sports network, and of course, you know, with 20 sports nuts in the newsroom, everybody, there's pressure to put this on and bets and all that. And finally, one year, the first time that they handed out the sheets, I just picked it up and I crunched up in front of them. Here, you boys go play your little games. I'm tired of being whacked, you know, by the first day. But yeah, you're right. What a great game on Saturday, even when you have three guys foul out for the Badgers. Mm-hmm. So yesterday, 14 minutes left, and when Kleisman has to leave the game with the tweaks the groin injury,
yep,
which we kind of learned on the broadcast that that's what it's been, he doesn't come back. When he leaves, they're up by 10.
Mm-hmm.
Wisconsin's up by 10. When, by the time he comes back, it's like a one-point game. I mean, how much difference did that make
right
defensively for what's going on in that game? What did you think?
No, I think you're absolutely right. I mean, the groin injury, Max Klesmit, I mean, slowed him down a little bit. Again, I'm not going to blame the – I'm not one of those people that blames the officials. You know, my dad was an official for WIAA in college for years, so I get that. But, you know, whether it was the way that they called the game against Edie on Saturday or some of the calls on Sunday, it was just curious that those didn't fall the right way. But more importantly, the way the Badgers played, I just think they're showing a lot of grit. And also, I think that you cannot underestimate the return of McGee. I mean, he is a spark plug both on the floor and, yep, and off. I think getting him back and getting him healthy has really helped this Badgers team get back to where they were. When they were, remember, folks, they were at one point number six in the country in January, right, Mike?
You're right, right. And then the drop, and it was inexplicable at times,
mm-hmm,
because it wasn't like they were wiped out with injuries. You know, there was a game last November. Remember, they went out to Providence. They lost,
yep,
to Providence, which was kind of a weird bump in the road. But getting hot at the right time, you get into yesterday's game. I didn't understand the Tyler Wall foul.
That's what I'm talking about.
Him from the game.
That,
about, you know,
go ahead.
You know?
Yeah, I mean, for those that didn't see it, I mean, I looked at it on the replay. Even, I mean, so I'm watching CBS, and, you know, I'm a big Bill Rafferty fan, and I'm listening and watching on CBS, but I also have the Civic Media app on, and I'm listening to LePay and Butch, you know, and the great thing is, on the Civic Media app, they were about 45 seconds behind the TV, so I could watch the game, and then I could, like, turn that down and turn it up and listen to LePay and Butch and see what their analysis was. And this call that Mike is talking about was late in the game. It was the fifth foul on Tyler Wall, and everybody from CBS to LePay, who pretty much calls it down the middle, you could tell when you watch the replay, he never touched the guy. And yet they call him for the foul. He leaves the game with, what was it, Mike, 3-something left? That made a huge difference down the stretch.
Left.
Yeah.
Todd, I thought I was the only geek who was running the game on TiVo and then syncing to the stream to listen to LePay and Butchie with the call, because they've got so much better information.
Yes.
Especially, you know, well, just better information all the way around. So, yeah, Terrence Murphy, Shannon for Illinois, 34 points. That transition break, you know, where he could – just score. I mean, even after the game, the players are saying that guy is really tough. I mean, you've got to game plan for that guy alone. The Marcus Domask had 26. And then Dane Danger.
Yeah.
It's like when they called his name.
Yep.
Dane Danger for the Illini. Right. That's a cool disc jockey name.
It is.
So,
right?
So you're on to James Madison University.
It's a
campus population of about 22,000 out in Virginia. Beautiful hilly country. All the campus looks like modern Mount Vernon buildings out there. hey, athletic alum from James Madison University include Scott Norwood.
Get out.
Wide right from 47 for the Buffalo Bills in the Super Bowl 30 years
Did
ago.
Did not know that. Did not know that. That's fantastic. Look, factoids from Mike Clemens. You're not going to hear anyplace else. That's fantastic. Well, I mean, for those that aren't familiar in these brackets, it's almost a given that out of the 4-5 seed versus 12 seed game, at least one 12 is going to win. And I mean, there are a lot of tough 12 seeds, James Madison among them. Correct me if I'm wrong, Mike Clemens, but I think they're one of just a handful of teams that have won 30 games this year, certainly in different division than the Big Ten. But I think this is going to be a tough out for Wisconsin.
So the hype says the team the Badgers are going to face Friday night at 8:40 at the Barclays Center with the Nets play in Brooklyn, is the hottest team in college basketball. Why? Because they have a 13-game winning streak.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Well, that means they've beat these powerhouses like Georgia State, Marshall, Coastal Carolina, Texas State. They beat Arkansas State by 20 points, 91-71, in the Sun Belt title. Their new coach, he's been there 3 or 4 years now, Mark Byington, he moved them out of the Colonial into the Sun Belt. But they had a good year. I mean,
right.
like 31 wins and 3 losses or so.
Right.
But they're beating up everybody in kind of a weak but deep conference. And I thought most interesting was this. After the game last night, and after just off the top of his head, Greg Gard said, oh, yeah, now see, that they got that kid into the transfer portal, that Noah Friedel. He's a three-point shooter they got out of South Dakota State.
Oh, God.
And this guy also recruited a kid out of Boston College named T.J. Bickerstaff to help, with his big. So they've been adding to their roster and building, and that's, why they've been able to dance through the Sun Belt.
Yeah, I think Wisconsin, as you said, they're hitting their stride. They're playing at the right time. And for me, when I'm looking at brackets, when I'm looking at the tournament, a lot of it comes down to what teams are playing their best basketball in March. And then it's all about the matchups, right? I mean, you can have a great team, but if you get a team that goes to your Achilles heel, you're done. We've seen never before until the last couple of years, we've seen one seeds go down to 16 a couple of times.
Things going for Wisconsin is just in terms of the grit that they've had.
Right.
Chucky Helprin, I thought this was really interesting. That now that you've completed the Big Ten tournament and you've made it into the Big Dance, Gard said, you know what? I've been working on this kid for a year and a half, and finally, about 6 weeks ago, he emerged not only as an aggressive leader on the court, but in the locker room as well. He's become the vocal leader. He's become that extra spark plug like you're looking from what they got out of McGee and when he came back. And that's made a big difference. Now, in terms of actually this James Madison school, they're pretty good at defending the threes. At least that's the way they set up their defense.
Mm-hmm.
So, that might take a little bit out of them. But the Badgers are 2 inches taller than most of their guys, including Crawl. So that, the size will matter that way. I think Madison's got to be a team that's going to have to hold on to the ball, pass it around, keep it a low-scoring affair if they've got any chance of upsetting the Badgers.
I know we carry the Badgers on the Civic Media app, the Badger Radio Network, the great Matt LaPay and Brian Butch. But we'd be remiss if we didn't, for our Marquette fans out there, particularly listening to WAUK, the Shaw down in Waukesha, Milwaukee, Marquette Golden Eagles, the number 2 seed, also in the South region. That's right. Theoretically, the Badgers and the Golden Eagles could meet for a trip to the Final Four in the Elite Eight. Not sure that's going to happen, but it could. Marquette takes on the always formidable Western Kentucky, the 15 seed. What do you think overall, Mike Clemens, of Marquette's chances in the South?
I think if they'll take Kentucky. I know that the next team the Badgers would have to face is either Duke or is it Vermont?
Correct.
Couple of 20-win teams like that. Yeah. But other than that, Marquette thinks that they'll have all their guys back, by Friday afternoon when they play. Here's another interesting thing that Greg Gard said last night.
Mm-hmm.
He said, I really am happy that we're playing Friday.
Yes.
Because, we just got done playing, 4 days in a row.
Mm-hmm.
He said, Illinois has got to play on Thursday. And he said, this has been one of my beefs, with the league year after year. Like, if you play on Sunday, you got to have some time to rest and to travel and get ready to go. And but he goes, we know what drives the train, and that's the TV ratings, it's the TV show. And so a lot of these things, you know, they're going to be on Thursday to get it going. So I thought that was interesting.
Yeah. I believe, correct me if I'm wrong, I think Marquette plays on Thursday around 1:30, and then the Badgers play on Friday night, 8:40-ish, depending upon when the first game gets done. That game will be on the Badgers on CBS. And as Mike said, the best way to listen to it was right here on Civic Media via the app, or if you live in Richland Center, Racine, Kenosha, Wisconsin Rapids, or Amory over the air, Matt LaPay and Brian Butch will have the call. Have your soda or whatever you need to do. Stay up late, 8:40 tip-off time around there on Friday night. Looking forward to a great tournament. We will follow it for you all season long. Believe it or not, there are other sports activities going on. We were talking with Mike Clemens, our sports reporter here at Civic Media. Mike, Bucks got back on track for the weekend.
They did, and I want to tell you the best story about the Bucks. After they came out of the All-Star break and won six in a row, and then one night Dame Lillard put up 41 points, hanging around late after, you know, the press conferences, he was asked this story, like, you know, what's make the difference with Doc since he's been here?
Yeah.
He said, you know, when Doc first got here, he came up to me and said, hey, how you doing? He said, are you guys running some of that stuff that you ran when you were at the Portland Trailblazers those 8 or 9 years?
Yeah.
And he says, no, nothing. And Doc Rivers says, you're kidding. He said, some of those sets that you guys ran out of Portland drove us nuts
right.
with the Celtics and the 76ers. Well, we're going to put a stop to that. And they started putting in things. So when you think about the period where Adrian Griffin took as the new head coach, and then Terry Stotts, who'd been Lillard's coach all those years out there in Portland, mm-hmm. suddenly, you know, resigns 2 or 3 weeks into the run, that's where you see, okay, this is maybe where part of that dysfunction was crawling in and how they were better able to use Damian Lillard as they got into the season. I thought that was a great story.
I think it's a great story. And for me, and I'm not going to, you know, I've talked about this with Luke Mathers, who, you know, is our resident Bucks insider here beyond what you do, obviously, but you're the true insider. But I mean, Luke is probably the biggest fan here of the staff. You know, I enjoy the Bucks. I don't know it intimately, but from as a casual observer, you look at all the talent the Bucks have had, and it's like something had to be going on internally to just not figure this out. And it seems like Doc Rivers is starting to figure it out.
Absolutely, and you know, he when he first came on, the way he was dissecting games, you thought, well, this, you know, yeah, you're wow, he, you know, I was watching the game, but he's right. I didn't think of that. So he was like a doctor, you know, taking these things surgically apart. But to actually implement them or make the change and to win these guys over, you know, it took some time. But right now, they are on the run. They get a win. Yesterday against the Suns. Hey, actually, on Saturday, he said, guys, we're going to need like 140 to start winning some of these games. And they went out and scored 140 points, even with Giannis out with a sore hamstring.
Yeah, absolutely. Couple minutes left here. What's your schedule like, Mike? Do you need to go after the break, or have you got another 6 minutes you can stick around?
Oh, I can come back.
All right, cool. That gives me a sense of where we're going. Touch on it quickly, about a minute here before the break. Aaron Jones, he was the heart and soul of the Packers, as far as I'm concerned. Big question for a lot of fans is, did Goody make the right decision? Did he let him go a year too early rather than waiting a year too late? How does this all play out for the Pack?
You know, they offered him $6 million. And he had taken a pay cut last year for $11 million. And Drew Rosenhaus, his agent, when he was told $6 million, said, no, no way, no dice.
Yeah.
They gave him to the end of the week before free agency started. Then they called him back and said, okay, then we're going to have to move on. And so Drew called Aaron Jones and said, you might get dropped by the Packers. And indeed he did. They went out and got Josh Jacobs from the Raiders, who's 26 years old, 3 years younger. Mm-hmm. And so the Vikings called and got him for, you know, $7 million. So here's the thing. I forgot about this, and a friend reminded me over the weekend. When we were at that game in San Francisco in the loss in the playoffs to the 49ers, he went down with a hamstring injury in the fourth quarter.
Yeah.
Might have not been able to play the next week. That's like the last card for the Packers.
Mike Clemens, our sports reporter, more on the other side, not just March Madness, but also Madness in Chicago. What the heck are the Bears doing? We'll ask Mike Clemens next. Don't go anywhere. It's the Todd Allbowl Show on Civic Media.
Locally grown radio, WFHR.
Put the flavor back in your life with El Cafe and never settle for bland food again. They may be a small town diner with a quaint menu, but the flavors here are big.
Start your day right with El Cafe's Irish Benedict, consisting of poached eggs topped with sliced corned beef on an English muffin covered in hollandaise sauce. Yum. El Cafe is a proud sponsor of WFHR's Birthday and Anniversaries Club, so tune in for your chance to win a meal from El Cafe and put some fiesta into your special day.
At Civic Media, we encourage active political engagement and remind listeners to think critically about political advertisements you may hear during this critical election year. Our stations are licensed by the FCC and are required to accept all ads for federal candidates. We also air state and local candidates, as well as paid ads from issue and PAC groups. Truth is rarely as simple as any political ad may claim. So again, we urge you to think critically about what you hear in the spirit of promoting authentic and respectful civic dialogue.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR, home for Up North News Radio.
How many times must we take this disgrace? Another Bears fan throwing insults in our face. The Packers are the greatest team to ever play the game. Even if from time to time they've been a little lame, how could you ever?
Welcome back to the Town Hall Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. 10 now before the hour of 1 o'clock, joined by the incomparable Mike Clemens, our sports reporter. And Mike, we haven't had a chance really to talk a lot on the air, but I just want to say publicly, I've said this before, when we had the good fortune of bringing you into the Civic Media fold, I know you do a lot of other things out there. It is one of the best additions to Civic Media statewide. Your knowledge of the Packers, the Brewers, the Bucks, but all of sports, I mean, it just makes our broadcast so much richer. Your updates at the top and bottom of the hour, I really appreciate you being here, and I just appreciate all your great work.
Oh, I appreciate this show, man. This is a fun way to get through the serious issues of the day, but to keep up to date with it and all that. And I appreciate being a part of your team. So,
well, thank you.
Yeah. So, what other things did you find interesting this weekend in the sports world?
Well, before we get to the Bears, I want to get to that. I want to finish up with the Packers. We were talking a little bit about Aaron Jones there. We were up against the break, but you brought this up. The age, and correct me if I'm wrong, I saw a story here about the time of the Jones trade. Do I have this right? There's only one or two guys now in the Packer roster above 28, and only like six more that are above 25 or 26. It's the youngest team in the league.
Yeah, I think Andy Herman broke that down, and he's absolutely right. I think Preston Smith is at 31, is the oldest guy on the team.
I mean, that's crazy.
But listen. Somebody asked me about that too over the weekend, and I said, I got to tell you, the entire atmosphere completely changed last year.
Yeah,
it all made sense. It all fit.
Yeah,
it's the Jordan Love era. It's 24, 25 years old, 2 or 3 years into it. All those, the two best leading receivers are going to be going into their third year. That outstanding class of rookie receivers into their second year. Offensive line is Josh Myers going into his third year. These guys are getting into their prime all on the same page. That's why John Runyon, a B-minus B grade right guard, let him sign for ridiculous sums of money with the Giants. Go out and get paid. Go ahead. Because you know what? We brought in Sean Ryan from the year before, who'd gotten, he was suspended for several games, for testing positive. But he, big, bulky guy. And what was so weird is in a season where they ended up having a winning record and sneaking into the playoffs, they kept on auditioning off the linemen during the game.
Right.
At right guard and the left tackle. I mean, it's just amazing. So and now they've got at least a basic line that they know that they can start with. Yes, they have to move on from David Bakhtiari. And this is where they are. They're trying to build that kind of a core. Now you get into free agency, you get a 24-year-old super safety like Xavier McKinney, who the most impressive thing watching him on tape and his stats is his accuracy in tackles. Like, he just doesn't miss tackles.
Yeah,
he wraps up. He brings guys down. And that's absolutely what they needed.
And what folks just heard, Mike, to hear you break this down, this is the stuff that I think a lot of casual observers
never think about. We're just like, oh, the Packers win, you know. And it really takes, and this is the thing I think that people missed the boat on, or some people did, that didn't really pay attention. There was probably no greater mind, football mind, for his time than Ron Wolf. And that's really what made the Packers a Super Bowl winner. Somebody who understood the things that you just laid out. Take the emotion out of it. It is a business, and you have to set people up for success. And I feel like Goody and LaFleur have set the Packers up for a new era of success.
Yeah, but Mark Murphy said about 4 or 5 years ago, I'm guessing, but I've got a pretty good sense of what's going on. It's going to be in our obituaries that we never got Aaron Rodgers back to the second Super Bowl.
Yeah.
So let's do what we can here. What do we need to do? Well, first, Goody gets hired because Ted was getting ill.
Right.
And they had to have him step down. And in his first year, Goody evaluated what was going on with the team, and he pretty much went back to Murphy and said, McCarthy's lost this team. The message is stale down there. And
right.
They were right. And they ended up making the change even before the season was over with. Then they got themselves a coach. Then they tried to appease Aaron Rodgers to, you know, light a flame under him. Well, I want some veterans. And bring me back Randall Cobb and hang on to this guy. Mm-hmm. Okay, we'll try it your way. So they spent big money to get the two Smith brothers in there and to bring Adrian Amos in, all those free agents. They got close, but they couldn't get over the hump. And now it's time to do it Goody's way. Now that Rodgers has moved on, and they're going to do it his way. And so far, I mean, I talked to him about this in Indianapolis. He said, you had 11 rookies play significant time last year.
Yeah.
11.
Yeah.
And a 12th, if you include Malik Keith, who was an undrafted kid who made the team. So it's all about this, you know, 24, 25-year-old group of guys surrounded by Jordan Love that's going to move on, and this is going to be your team for the next 3 years, and that puts you in a perfect position of guys with all these reps together and learning how to win games.
About a minute and a half left. Mike Clemens, our sports reporter here at Civic Media. What's going on in Chicago? The Bears trade Justin Fields. I think Wayne Larrabee said in his tweet, he said, the Bears traded Justin Fields for a bag of footballs. I mean, a bag of balls. It's a sixth-round pick to the Steelers. He now joins former Badger Russell Wilson in a QB contest for the Steelers. And in the minute and a half left, what's up with the Bears?
It's a sixth-round pick for next year. Next year, when the draft is held in Green Bay. That's when the Bears get to use that.
That's incredible.
And if something should happen to Russell Wilson and Justin Fields takes over and has over 51% of the snaps this year for the Steelers, then it kicks up to a fourth-round pick. Oh, okay.
Right.
Hey, at the end of the day, the Bears couldn't dump him. But this is clear indication, yes, they're not going to be crazy. They will draft Caleb Williams out of USC with the number one pick. Justin Fields goes to Pittsburgh. His agent now is saying this morning, we had interest in four other teams. Well, this is the team that Justin Fields wanted to go. Let me go play for Mike Tomlin.
Right.
Let me play for this organization. Let me learn behind Russell Wilson, which was what he never really got a good mentor.
Exactly.
You know, when he was with Chicago. And so this is the best for sure. And, you know, the Steelers, they'll sell it as, hey, he could be the next Cordell Stewart, right?
Yeah.
So.
You never know. Mike Clemens, appreciate you so much. About 30 seconds left. Brewers, pitching, looking. We thought it was going to be good. Not looking so great. Positive, hesitant. In the 20 seconds, what do you feel about the Brewers?
The Devin Williams thing is devastating, man.
Yeah.
I mean, he's got, you know, a couple of fractures in the back. Your closer is out until May or June, right. So that's not good. But I'm a big fan of Uribe. I love that kid's pitching style, and he throws at 100 miles an hour. Maybe it's a way for him to move in.
Mike Clemens, always informative. We appreciate you taking the time in your busy schedule. Thanks so much. Have a great day, Mike.
Thanks, Todd.
Yep, thank you. Mike Clemens, our sports reporter here at Civic Media. Come back for news on the other side. Your news at the top of the hour starts now.
Locally grown radio from Vesper to Plover, we are your home for news talk and sports. 97.5 FM and WFHR, 1320 AM.
Coming up Tuesday on Matt Nair On Air, Luke Mathers will join us to kick around the news at 10:33, and we'll play a round of three headlines and a lie. Don't miss it.
Emergency medical unit, respond to 102 Maple Avenue, possible stroke victim.
When stroke occurs, you have 60 minutes to win or lose the race of your life. There are new treatments, but you must get to a hospital fast. If you suddenly feel weakness on one side, have trouble speaking, walking, or seeing, it could be a stroke. Call 911. Get to a hospital. Because how you spend the next 60 minutes could determine how you spend the rest of your life. Stroke. Know the signs. Act in time. A message from the National Institute of Neurological Disorders and Stroke.
This is Locally Grown Radio.
WFHR 1320 AM. W248DE Wisconsin Rapids.
And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief. The Supreme Court is weighing whether the government coerced social media sites to take down posts it considered misleading. Deputy Solicitor